From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the fourth day of April 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. Later on in the program, we'll check in at the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. Ben Pruce will have an update of the cash grain market and how the railways are now handling ethanol as it's coming out of the plants in his part of the world. And we'll hear an update of the weather forecast from Jim Angel. And the news from Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois on this Friday afternoon.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's take a look at the outside markets, or as the commodity markets, as they settled up on this Friday afternoon. Nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat at $6.69¾ was down 6¼. That in the May, and the July at $6.76½, down 5¼, both for the soft red. The hard red July at $7.38½, down 9¼. May corn futures up a penny and 3/4 at $5.01¾. July at $5.07½, up 2¼. And September at $5.07, up 4¼. December corn, $5.06¾, up 5¼ for the day. That's the harvest month in the March at $5.13, 4¾ higher. May beans at $14.73¾, down 1½ cents. July at $14.55, 3/4 lower. August, $13.74½, down a penny, or rather up penny and a quarter. And September at $12.57, up 1¾. November beans at $12.08½, that's up 5, and January at $12.13¼, a nickel higher. Bean meal at $4.79.10, down a dollar. Bean oil at $41.57, up a dime for the day. Now the CME Group live cattle, April at $143 and a nickel, $2.10 lower. June at $134.80, down 257½, and August at $132.27½, 247½ lower. April feeders at $177.70, down $1.12½. The May futures at $178.52½, down $1.62½, and August at $180.22½, and the feeder cattle down $1.60. Lean hogs finished the April at $123.15, down $2.60. May futures were off the $3 limit at $120.50, and June down the limit as well, $3 lower at $120.55. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. You can listen to us live there. Of course, you can actually come back and get any of our programming 24 hours a day. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures nearby May contract, $101.07 a barrel. Up 77 cents, the RBOB or wholesale price of gasoline at $2.92¼, that's a penny and 7 cents higher. Ethanol futures at $2.40, up 9¾. The natural gas at $4.42¼, down 4¾. And diesel fuel for the day, $2.90¼, just about unchanged. Gold futures at $1,303.20, up $18.80. The U.S. dollar trading at 80.42. is down 0.03 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon shows us gray skies for the day. It's just 40 degrees outside. We're supposed to go to a high of 46. Not sure that we'll quite make that this afternoon. It'll be cloudy, of course. Gusty with winds up around 43 miles an hour this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. It'll become gradually clearer. With a low of 29 degrees tonight, it'll be breezy with a west-northwest wind at 18 to 23. That's going to feel pretty sharp, I'm honestly thinking, and it'll decrease to 10 to 15 miles an hour after midnight. Winds could gust as high as 34 this evening. Sunny skies tomorrow, a high of 53 degrees. Saturday evening, clear and 33. Sunday, mostly sunny and 59. And Sunday evening, a 40% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy, and a low of 40 degrees. Rain is likely on Monday. It'll be cloudy with a high of 51. Monday night, a chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and 38. And Tuesday, a chance of showers, partly sunny, a high near 55 degrees. Tuesday evening, cloudy and 34. Wednesday, sunny skies and 57. Wednesday night, halfway through the week, mostly clear, a low of 40. And on Thursday of next week, mostly sunny skies, a high near 66 degrees. It'll be breezy. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, this is the Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of April, 2014. On the phone line with us from his Atchison, Kansas office is Mike Zuzalo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Not a really beautiful day here, but it's been warmer than it has been in, well, I don't know, months, I suppose. you know, we'll take what, it's only 40 degrees, but we'll take what we get.
Feels like 80, doesn't it?
Well, no, actually, it was kind of stiff when I came out this afternoon. It was a little bit more sharp than I expected. But eventually we'll get around to warmer weather and we'll start to plan. I don't think there's much reason to be concerned, but the trade always gets a little ahead of itself. It's concerned that the cold weather won't allow producers to get into the field awfully quickly. And I don't know whether this represents a time where you're looking at the marketplace thinking they're overreacting and maybe we should react, or you've got some other ideas.
No, I think you're right. Depending on who you talk to, I think you represent, and that what you just talked about represents really well a lot of what has been talked about up in Chicago this week, especially in light of a lower than expected corn acreage number, which puts the weather at a much higher level of importance to get planted successfully and timely, meaning get the acres in, get them in early enough behind warm weather so that you can maximize your yield if you're going to have acres that low. Big if there, but we'll stay with that for right now. I think what I would say is that the trade is probably correct in needing to keep extra risk premium in the market, A, because the bean futures are back up to $12 in November. I think that attracts the market and attracts the farmers. Not the market, but the farmers, Todd. And I think the other thing is probably, and probably more pertinent, is you're talking about mainly the eastern Corn Belt. I would say the trade really isn't looking at the northern plains, upper Midwest, which is a concern of mine, or the southern Corn Belt, which is a big concern of the primary weather guy I look at and talk to. Because right now, like Texas on Monday, corn planting was 28%. That's only up from 20% last week. Last year, they were at 53%, and the five-year average is 48%. So with their delays, they're getting to the point where they're about half of what they should be at this time of year, and that's going to cause some consternation if you're not irrigated in those areas. Mississippi, kind of a similar scenario, not as significant. Arkansas, Georgia, these areas are very important when you're talking about the acreage we're talking about this year. So I think the trade mostly has it right, especially after the acreage report.
This is a problem, and I think you alluded to this, more for soybeans than for corn, though both of the crop, those crops are grown in that part of the world.
It is, and this is probably the biggest thing on the report next week for the supply-demand is going to be the old crop bean carryover and whether the trade takes it at face value, which I would say they did not take the stocks report or the bean acreage report at face value at all this week, because we are not seeing increased imports. We're not seeing a limitation of exports. So now we look at next Tuesday or Wednesday's report, and I think the number that I just put out for the poll for the news wires was I am below USDA on bean supply or production, but my ending stocks are actually up from last month's USDA number by about 1.2 million tons. I see lower demand coming down the pike because of high prices and because I think we've got some conclusive evidence that China is indeed slowing down economically and in the bean sector as well. And I would propose it out there to the producer listening that we've been under the idea over the last 10 years, maybe even the last 30 years, that China is going to have a certain type of growth, a certain type of GDP, and therefore a certain type of bean demand. I would start to argue that their growth and their bean demand growth is probably starting to flatten out, and we've got to get prepared for that in case we do get some big bean acres this year and don't have any weather problems, because what saved us last year was the tight old crop U.S. supplies. If it would have been the world supplies that the trade looked at, I don't think beans would have rallied like they did. So if we build U.S. supplies this year, you're right, that's where the beans really have the most downside, starting with the meal market.
So USDA was at, what, $145 million on their carryout, ending stocks for this year in March. What do you think, what are you looking at in April?
I'm right at the average. I came in at 137 on today's estimates and Reuters, and I think Dow Jones will probably put out the exact same thing. Right around 139 is the average trade guess. The low number on the Reuters poll is 125. I could see it being that low because of the crush and because of the exports. I think it goes back to, will USDA actually fess up to that?
You think? Well, they've fessed up down to, what, 115 in the recent last decade sometime. I seem to recall that number somewhere along the lines. But
yeah, it gets down to days of supply, you know, now, and stocks-to-use ratios. It's very hard for them to go below 4.5%. 4.4%. So I think they're probably going to stick with that.
Yeah, so they're going to have to stay right about where they are in order to get enough days of supply. We've been lower than this number, but it's about how much usage we have, and it's been big.
It has. It really has. And there's, you know, like I said, the time's running out. I really think the bull spread came back around. And it made sense the bull spread came back around, but you would have thought after the acreage and stocks report that November would have pulled down July, not July pulling up November. I mean, July closed up 45 and three quarters, November up 16 and a half this week. The trade, I think, said, we can't take this at face value because we're not seeing signs of demand rationing. Let's get back up towards $15 because we just checked the 1460 level, took it out, and we checked it as support the day after, and you know they were off to the races after that. And I wouldn't be surprised if we would continue to see that type of mindset before the report. But like 2004, because we'd be in the second week of April by next week, Friday next week, I'd start to be looking at a little bit of a nervousness in the bean bull market.
Yeah, so does this mean that you want to cover some of the which is above the crop insurance set price at this point for soybeans,
yeah,
especially, I mean, for the new crop? Because
exactly.
Now November's at, what, 12.08 and a half, and it posted an outside up for the week.
That's right. It's
pretty
got a good
impressive
look.
Actually,
it's got a good look, and the feed grains have a good look after testing major support too. You're right. But yeah, the new crop, I think we got to get sped up on our hedge protection. And you know, a lot of producers are calling in now saying they think they're going to have early yield, early bean basis premiums, so hedge to arrives work for that. I'd continue to diversify in the puts. I think the big thing that I go into next week after the report, especially other than what we just talked about, is we saw the technicals hold up, but we also saw the weather come in and support us, and we saw what looks to be a low in the dollar. So I don't think you want, if the weather is still bullish, I don't think you want to try and stand in front of a sell-off or a potential sell-off if you lose the technicals, because now you've got the dollar working against you. So don't try and put the weather as a primary driver or your most important factor in terms of how you market or whether you market. I think you really got to look at the technicals and the dollar. And so for the corn producer east of the Mississippi River, that means stay with the puts until you get planted.
A different topic, but the little piggy came to market price. Holy smoke. What'd you think of the June lean hogs, huh?
Yeah, and this is where we took out that pre-report 123 low on today's news that the Chinese were going to temporarily suspend pork imports from the United States. It was a week ago today. You and I talked about the flash news wire that they were building stocks for their state reserves to support prices. So it is a supply situation, and that's part of the reason why my bean demand number is going down. Whether USDA sees it that way, I don't know, but this is not good news for the hogs. I suspect we've got another $5 to $7 downside into the mid, you know, 113, 115 level in June. But I think there the cash market probably supports, because we again had a very light 360 to 370 kill today. So we're still shutting down some plants on Fridays because of the virus.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
That's Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. Joins us here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at Illinois Public Media, will be along in just a moment with a look at today's agricultural news. We'll be right back.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says a countervailing duty and anti-dumping case that U.S. sugar producers filed March 28th against the Mexican industry risks upsetting negotiations with Mexico over removing barriers to other U.S. commodities, including potatoes and beef. Vilsack told the House Agriculture Committee yesterday that the case was ill-timed. Vilsack said Mexico tried to respond to U.S. producers' concerns by diverting 700,000 tons of sugar to other markets that would have otherwise gone to the United States. U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman is asking Canada for changes in Canada's agriculture policy relative to ongoing Trans-Pacific Partnership trade negotiations. Froman told a congressional panel that the USTR is pressing Canada to offer agricultural concessions in the trade talks without much success thus far. Froman says the U.S. wants a market access offer on agricultural issues, including dairy and poultry. Canada has already promised to relax some of the import limits on European cheese in its recently concluded trade agreement with the EU, and U.S. trade negotiators expect similar concessions. A bankruptcy trustee yesterday announced that former customers of MF Global Incorporated will soon receive all of the money owed them after the brokerage collapsed in 2011. Final distribution of customers' claims will begin today and continue for several weeks. The trustee, who had arranged to borrow money from MF Global's general estate to make customers whole, will make the final distribution of funds to any U.S. customer who traded on U.S. or foreign exchanges. Entomologists in Kansas are urging wheat growers to scout now for army cutworms, even as farmers struggle to assess the scope of winter kill damage in their fields. There have been reports of cutworms in north central Kansas, southwest Kansas, northwest Kansas, and south central Kansas. Meanwhile, the picture of winter kill wheat in Kansas is sharpening as spring temperatures inch higher across the state. State Extension agents say possibly a third of Kansas fields have been injured moderately to severely by winter wheat kill. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. Our panelists this week on that program include Aaron Curtis, Chuck Shelby, and Dan Zwickard. Just the three of them would be a great program all by themselves. But Ken Morrison of Morrison on the Markets out of St. Louis will be our special guest. Stay with us if you can right here on our home radio station, or listen online at willag.org or on many of our radio stations tomorrow morning for Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at the marketplace. Now, up next, you know, it's been a really rough winter in the pig barns around the nation, and a lot of baby pigs have been lost to a disease called PEDV. I'll have more on what those numbers look like and what it will mean for the summer supply of pork. PEDV stands for porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, and it's a killer of piglets. Some well-known commodity analysts have suggested 10 to 15% of the winter pig crop was lost to PEDV this winter. That number would be reflected in this summer's pork supply if true. However, USDA's account of the pig crop and amount of feed being fed suggest otherwise, says Purdue University Extension ag economist Chris Hurt.
In the winter, it looks like we lost about 7% of the pigs. Now, again, what we're looking at is the pigs per litter that USDA reports, and trying to go back and do an analysis of the national trend on that, because we have been trending higher. So we dropped about 7% below trend expectations on pigs per litter. That's where that death loss would show up. The fall supplies fall farrow industry, should say, we're down about 2% on pigs per litter. So I think when you put that whole 6 months together, that'll be our spring and summer supplies down about 5%.
This naturally will translate into the other markets. How much of an impact is debatable. Take corn, for instance. It's a primary feedstuff for hogs. What does it mean if the hog slaughter is off by 5% this summer?
And so I think what you're looking at here on corn, you back off with about 5% less pigs. You're going to back off about 25 million bushels of feeding of corn from what we would have had had we not had the PED. Now, this is not a big amount difference between what the market said they were expecting on the death losses. They were guessing that we'd on average be about 7% death loss, and the number was around 5%. So I think that's more in the 10 million bushel range, 5 to 10 million bushels of corn, more feeding than what the market was expecting due to the death loss on PED virus.
This is a pittance in the grand scheme of things for corn. It's no game changer, says Hurt.
I don't think so. I think the game changer may be on the expectations. Some had very high death loss expectations in their models and obviously in their trading. So I think you really deflate some of those super bulls in terms of the lean hog futures. But on corn, I don't think this is the major game changer. I think probably it really is looking at the stocks number and then, of course, the planting intentions as we start out the 2014 planting.
No game changer for the price of corn, but certainly the number of hogs on hand is greater than many in the trade have counted. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Let's check now the cash grain market. Ben Pruce is on the phone line from the Andersons at their Everly, Iowa facility. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Yeah, hey, afternoon, Todd.
In our past conversations, you have talked a bit about the railways and ethanol and not being able to get ethanol shipped out of those plants and what that's done to your basis. It broke it, I think you were 35 under last week, maybe it was the week before. Where do you stand today?
We actually, everything's kind of held steady for the time being this past week here. Those same rail logistics continue to be an issue. We just can't get a haul away. And you mentioned it to me yesterday, and I was meant to reply back to you, but I'm not real sure when we're going to see any relief. That I just don't know what it's going to take to change that scenario. But in the meantime, feels like we're just going to continue to be soggy.
Yeah, so it's less about the winter weather and more about rail car availability or rail engine availability or all of the above?
Some of both. Not so much the weather, but I think just from what I've been told, it sounds like they've kind of got to focus up in the oil fields, and hauling ethanol is about the lowest on their priority list.
So it has dinged your bases pretty heavily. Where do you stand today?
Today we closed at 467 cash, 35 under the May, and 419 cash beans, 55 under the May.
Oh, you gave me the wrong price for cash beans. You were at
1495.
What are you? 1419 cash beans.
Yes.
495.
Yeah.
There are a lot of hearts that really drop for the guys in Iowa.
yeah, we've got a few beans. Yeah.
Okay, hey, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah,
that's Ben Pruce. He's at the Andersons at their Everly, Iowa facility. Joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll be back in 2 minutes. We'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Cordon Bleu Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1828, Gasparius van Woden of Amsterdam patented chocolate milk powder. In 1871, Mary Florence Potts of Ottumwa, Iowa, patented the Mrs. Potts sad iron. It featured a detachable handle so several iron bodies could be heated and used in turn as one cooled down. Three irons, one handle, and one stand were sold as a set. In 1883, Peter Cooper died. Cooper obtained the first American patent for the manufacture of gelatin. In 1895, a cough syrup manufacturer, Pearl B. Waite, purchased the patent and developed a packaged gelatin dessert. Waite's wife, May, named it Jell-O. In 1887, William Cumming Rose was born. An American biochemist, he spent a decade researching human diet. His research established the importance of 8 essential amino acids in human nutrition. And in 1932, vitamin C was isolated by C.G. King at the University of Pittsburgh. After 5 years of work on untold thousands of lemons, King and his colleagues isolated a crystalline substance identified as vitamin C. King was given a patent for his isolation process, but he was denied a patent for the vitamin itself since it was a known substance that had been isolated by a different method 3 years earlier. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media and the weather forecast for the weekend. Rainfall again. Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute state climatologist, joins us with an update.
April is starting out cool and wet. Temperatures are about 1 to 2 degrees below average. Precipitation was heaviest this week in southern Illinois, with many areas south of Interstate 70 getting 3 to 8 inches of rain. The rains tapered off northward with amounts of 1 to 2 inches common north of Interstate 70. Soil temperatures under grass around the state are finally warming. The 4-inch temperatures are in the low to mid-50s from Springfield southward, but still in the 40s and 30s in northern Illinois. Soil moisture looks good around the state at depths down to 20 inches. There's some lingering dryness at lower depths in the northwest, and of course saturated fields in parts of southern Illinois where the rains were heaviest. The National Weather Service forecast for the coming week shows mild temperatures and less rainfall. Lows Sunday morning will be ranged from 32 degrees in the north to the upper 30s in southern Illinois. Highs on Sunday will be in the upper 50s and low 60s across Illinois. And by Monday, it'll be a little cooler with highs in the mid-50s and in the mid to upper 50s on Tuesday and Wednesday, and finally in the upper 60s on Thursday. Morning lows on Monday through Thursday will be in the low to mid-30s in the north and in the low 40s in the south.
Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, with our Friday look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hear how the numbers settled up in Chicago from the CME Group on the weekly trade. This is Friday to Friday changes, not the daily, but the weekly. Nearby May corn, a 5.01¾ settlement price, was up 9¾ from the previous week. It posted an outside up week with a high of $5.12.5 and a low at $4.75. December also posting an outside up week, settled at 5.06¾, 19.5 cents higher than the previous Friday. Soy complex bean futures, 14.96 for the top of the May contract, the low on the week at $14.23. Finished 14.73¾, up 37¼ cents from last Friday. In November beans, $12.08, the final, up 18 cents from last week. That was an outside up week as well. Bean meal at $4.79.10, up $10.70 for the week. Bean oil at $41.57. Posted a hookup at $1.09 higher. May wheat futures at 6.69¾ were down 25¾ cents. And the July at 14.55 in the harvest month, up 47¼ cents. June live cattle at 134.80, finished the week $3.55 lower than last Friday. May futures posted an outside down at 178.52½ in the feeder cattle, 97½ cents lower. And June lean hogs at $120.55 for the week, finished on their low, off $9.02½. By the way, the April contract posted a hook down as well in the lean hog futures. That's a look at the numbers. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.